hard for you to give me a beat for that, and then I'll have to get my lips buzzing a little bit.
Go get the minister, it's past time.
Go get what?
Go get the minister, it's past time. Usually I play the prelude before, and then the minister's...
How about a prelude?
Yeah, no prelude.
We don't do it here.
How about a pre-prelude?
She does the announcements
first. Oh, we're doing special music.
No, Bob.
Oh, she does the announcement. Yeah.
Then I play the prelude. She doesn't watch her time.
Yeah.
Which makes later...
She's a free spirit.
Well,
you didn't get lost.
Yeah, I did. You knew, didn't you? Huh?
It sounded a little bit funny there, a couple measures.
Who's got a cell phone? Tell me the time.
10:12.
I know. 10:12. See, it's a little fast.
Well, but not
much. Well, the 3 minutes is huge and...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know. Good morning. Yeah, somebody will have to do that. And the one outside is way early. And anyway, we're a mess time-wise. How are you all today? And y'all got up the stairs without the elevator. The elevator is a mess. Anybody know where the reset button is on that? We need a big, big red button on it. Anyway, oh well. Okay, announcements this morning. Board meeting and commission meetings tomorrow at 7 and 8. 8 o'clock is the board meeting. Any other announcements this morning? Did I miss anything? That big announcement? I think that's all we got for right now for announcements. So we'll begin worship with the prelude.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Please stand and join me in the call to worship, please. You who are battered by the waves of life, come.
You who are sailing against the wind into the storm, come.
You who are fearful to the point of terror, come.
You who are sinking, come.
God is near.
Our God is always near, and we have come to worship.
Our first hymn this morning is, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
Let us pray. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Many times our lives are so busy at work that we neglect our relationship with you. For that we are sorry. We know that you never neglect us, for if you did, our very lives would cease to be. Continue to pull us to yourself. Guide us in our journey and hold us close in your bosom until the day we come home to be with you forever. Be with us now as we gather in your name, and may we feel your presence among us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. And this morning we are glad to have as our special music once again, Bob and Lonnie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As we come now to our time of prayer, we have some joys and some concerns to share. Nina Hytrek comes to the early service, and her husband Jim had a huge basal cell removed from his temple this week. It was pretty deep, and so please keep them in your prayers. Also, Cal and Monica. Cal fell again, so that's, I don't know what we're going to do about him. So please remember him. Hold both of them closely in your prayers this week. Kathy Malloy will be on her way to Denver to National Jewish Hospital for a thorough workup that her infectious disease doctor has ordered. So, Kathy Morrison. I said Kathy Malloy. Kathy Morrison. Yes. If Kathy Malloy was on her way, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Would you mind repeating that?
Kathy Morrison will be on her way to Denver tomorrow for a workover, a workup, a thorough, complete workover that her infectious disease doctor has ordered at the National Jewish Hospital to try to figure out some of her health problems she has had for the last several years. Yes, George's sister. She sits right here in first service. Okay. Yes. She's a little nervous. It's a very good thing, but she's a little nervous about the whole thing. Debbie Mosteller, many of you know Debbie had a stroke this week. She was in the hospital. She went home for just a little tiny bit and then went back to the hospital. The family is hoping that she will be at Elkhorn early this week. And those are concerns. Joys, we have a couple. One is that Wanda and Kulin were married yesterday just down the street in their backyard or side yard, and it was a lovely but very warm afternoon. Kulin's children were here from Alaska, so that was very nice that they were all able to be here. And today is, ta-da-ta-da, Janice Cooey's birthday. Yay, she is 30. I don't know, 50 was pretty good. I thought 50 was good. So happy birthday, Janice. Are there other joys and concerns to share this morning? Cindy.
I just found out we have a local man who's had COVID. He's had a fever. He's young and easily healthy. He's had a fever over 103 for 3 weeks, and now he has double pneumonia. Mm.
And also, this week, I believe, is Connor Goodman's sentencing. So please remember him and his mom. Debbie. Okay, I didn't hear all of that. I heard Joe had a foot and toes amputated because of frostbite.
And he's in Evanston for other reasons also, but I mean, he just needed him really quick.
Okay, and he's in Evanston. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Are you aware that Evanston is our state's psychological hospital?
Nope. Didn't have a clue. Thank you. Let's join together in prayer. O God, our refuge and our strength, we gather gratefully this day as sisters and brothers in Christ, made in your image, called to proclaim your good news. We come rejoicing with songs of joy for the beauty of the earth, the glory of the skies, and for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. And many of us come, God, with sorrow, wondering where refuge will be found for the homeless and for the poor whom Jesus named as blessed. And so this day we ask, O God, that you would soften our hearts so we may clearly hear the stranger's knock at our door. Give us tender hearts O Holy One, in this noisy world where horror and violence threaten to become ordinary and accepted, give us tender hearts to stand firm against the hardness of this world. Flood us with courage to take hold of this noisy, numb world and say, no. Flood us with courage to risk the inevitable pain that comes with loving one another. Soften our hearts, dear God, to one another, that in learning to bear one another's limits and aggravations, we learn to pray for one another. O God, we are constant in our desire for you. Silently, we wait for you to receive and to fill our hearts as we empty ourselves to you with our silent prayers. We pray for the sick, the lonely, the grieving, that your grace may bring comfort, the miracle of healing, and company in the midst of sorrow. We remember and we give thanks this day for the cloud of witnesses, strengthening us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We pray to be filled with the Spirit that we may rejoice in hope, remain patient in trials, and be constant in prayer. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I also wanted to mention Paul, you have a book with you, don't you? That's new? Yep, and it was written by who?
My son Mark.
By your son Mark. Mark's book has been published, and so that's a joy. It's on the pastor as shepherd, correct?
Yes, it's the role of pastoral care.
Yep. You can get your copies at Amazon, or your favorite local bookstore would be happy to order it for you. And I'm sure we can get it autographed by his dad. That's a good joy. And
there are times when I wish for big miracles, like walking on water and calming the storm. But most of the time, I'm looking for the smaller miracles, like God calming the chaos in my life and in my mind, or just walking through the next day. We have a smaller miracle before us right now. As we gather at this table, Jesus is present as our host, and because the Lord is here, we are transformed into God's church and connected with both God and God's church in every time and place. When you think about it, it's not that small a miracle after all. We will sing our communion hymn now. Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
And on the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. As often as you eat this, remember me." And when they were finished, he took a cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is for every one of you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. God, who calls us together here and makes the church out of us, thank you for your grace, which covers and fills us now. Thank you for this bread and cup that remind us how much you gave to make this possible. Thank you for all those not so small, after all miracles, that you give to us each day. In Jesus' name, amen. God's beautiful creation overflows with water, sunlight, and the rich, dark soil to grow our food. When we share the fruits of this earth, there is more than enough for all. There is a table of plenty sent by a God who loves every one of us. At this table, all are fed, and still there are gifts overflowing into the world God loves. Our giving supports this ministry that God is growing stronger each day. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. O God, our helper, you are our great joy. Your Holy Spirit enlightens the minds and hearts of your people. Thank you for always encouraging us to draw near to you in prayer and worship. In times of trouble or concern, we find hope and peace in your presence. Guide our congregation to share the warmth and the good news of your love in ministries with people in our wider community. Receive these tithes and offerings in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And our second lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind them, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Haven't you ever wondered the same thing? I mean, honestly, really? Don't you care what's happening to us? Don't you care? Don't you care what's happening to us? It had been a long, long day. They'd been working. Dawn. I almost did it again. This morning, first service said dusk to dawn. It was dawn to dusk. Getting my days mixed up, my days and nights like babies. Long day, dawn to dusk. The hours had been long and the work had been challenging that day. Earlier in the day, a few students had gathered about, eager to listen, eager to learn right there by the seashore. The 12 were there as well, watching, listening, learning. And as the day went on, more and more students gathered around him, and the students gathered around him became a crowd, and the crowd became so large there wasn't any place that Jesus could be seen and heard by all. So, Jesus, what does he do? He steps into a boat, and he sits down. Now, we need to pause for just a minute, because Jesus sitting in a boat doesn't tell us much, but it told the crowd a lot. Teachers and rabbis during Jesus' time, when they begin to teach, when they teach, they sit. They sat down and the students gathered at their feet. So when they see Jesus sit in the boat, they know that his voice is the one of authority. They know that he has just taken the position of authority. It's like when a king is seated on the throne or when a judge is seated behind the bench. We recognize the posture and the voice of authority. In that time and that day along the Sea of Galilee, it was the same for this teacher. The voice of authority was about to speak, teaching them about the kingdom of God in stories, teaching the crowd, explaining everything to the disciples in private. It had been a long day. And when it was evening, the work of the teacher was finished for the day. And it's time to make their way across the sea to get away from the crowd. This is the first of four stories in Mark's gospel where Jesus will cross the Sea of Galilee. He likes to do that. Let us go across to the other side. So Jesus and his disciples, four of whom are professional fishermen who had spent their lives working on this body of water. They knew this sea, this lake. They knew the sea well. And so they set sail across the sea. And then a hurricane, a whirlwind, a great windstorm, a furious storm came up, and the waves were beating against the boat, breaking the boat, already filling the boat with water. It was the perfect storm. Remember George Clooney? Oh, he died. It was the perfect storm for the first century. Once we remember, creation and paradise were made out of a watery chaos. But in this hurricane, the experienced fishermen can do nothing. They cannot bring order out of this water's chaos surrounding them. And so they turn to Jesus, and they find him where? Where's Jesus? He's in the back of the boat, sound asleep, on a little pillow. Jesus is quite comfortable in all of this. The sea has turned violent. The wind is blowing. The waves are crashing. The boat is filling with water. And Jesus, he is sleeping like a baby right there on his little itty-bitty pillow. Or he's sleeping like one who has complete trust in their God. You see, the ancient Israel believed that human beings were able to lie down and sleep in peace as a sign of trust in their God. It is, as the psalmist says, "I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety." Sleep, peaceful sleep, comes from trusting in the Lord. But the disciples aren't so trusting yet. And you know, in their defense, I will say, they have reason to be afraid. When I was a kid, I was afraid when the ferry boat was tipped just a little bit like this because there were too many cars loaded on one side as we crossed Horseshoe Bay to visit my great-grandmother in Gibson's, Canada. And we weren't about to sink. They have reason to be afraid. The disciples haven't been with Jesus long. Remember, we're just in chapter 4, the beginning of the gospel. And they don't know Jesus all that well yet. They are experienced fishermen, though, on this sea. And they know these waters well. And so it would take a pretty good storm to alarm them. And they're alarmed. The tempest is raging and their boat is sinking. So they wake Jesus up. "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? Don't you care that we're about to be utterly and completely destroyed and killed? We're all going to drown. Don't you care?" Those are the saddest words on the planet. How many of us have wondered or thought just that? "Oh my God, don't you care? Don't you care?" There are too many people in the world who believe that hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods are sign Signs that God just doesn't care. Oh, our insurance companies call them acts of God. They don't have that right. Even worse, too many people in this world believe that those things and our sufferings and our pain, even viruses, are proof, are signs that either God isn't listening to us or that God is teaching us some sadistic lesson. Teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? The boat is sinking. Jesus, asleep in the middle of a storm. The soaking, wet, terrified disciples shake him awake. And so Jesus, have you ever thought about how he wakes up here in this little story? Does he wake suddenly with a start? Does he jump up and get busy? Or does he slowly take his time, stretch and yawn a little, one eye at a time? Doesn't sound like he's startled. I think it's sort of like when your kids are little and a storm comes up in the middle of the night. You can sleep through it, but your kids can't. And after so many storms, you don't wake up with a start anymore. When they come running in, you just open your eyes, open your arms, and hold on to them until the storm passes or it's morning. The disciples wake him up. Jesus stretches a little, sets up, sits up. Maybe he's trying to figure out where he is. What's going on? It's night, you know. He's had a long day. Teacher, don't you care? We're about to die. The night sky is dark. The sea is stormy. His sleepy eyes and ears adjust to the disciples' panic, to the vicious wind, and to the violent storm on the sea. And once awake, Jesus takes care of two things, the storm and the disciples. So we read that Jesus rebukes the wind. How do you rebuke the wind? Well, actually, Jesus scolds the wind. He gives it a good scolding. And then he speaks to the sea, these two words that we read as peace, be still. It's not quite so gentle as that. First, Jesus tells it to stop speaking. Shh. Shh. Stop speaking. And then he tells the sea to put a muzzle on it. Put a muzzle on it. These are not gentle words, like peace, be still. Nah. He scolds the wind, and then he tells the sea to stop speaking and put a muzzle on it. Jesus speaks, and the wind grows weary. It dies down. Actually, the wind refuses to move suddenly. Jesus speaks, and the sea becomes a great calm. It's suddenly as smooth as glass. The great windstorm is taken care of. And now he turns to care for his disciples. I gotta be honest, this seems to be the stupidest question in the Bible. Own personal opinion. Why, Jesus said, are you so miserably afraid? It's like, are you kidding me? Do you not yet have faith? One day, but not yet. One day these disciples will have faith. They will have an abiding, lasting faith. Because faith is a journey, a process, a growth that deepens and matures as we continue to follow in the way of Jesus on that road to discipleship. But these are new disciples, and they are still learning, as we are, what it means to be a person of faith. And along with Jesus, along with the disciples, Jesus continues to teach us that not believing, unbelief, is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And that's a really hard lesson to learn. Why are you so miserably afraid? Because it's terrifying. Over and over in Scripture, we are told, do not be afraid. Michael Linville calls it the first and the last word of the gospel. Do not be afraid. From the Annunciation to Mary to the women at the tomb, the announcement of the good news begins, do not be afraid. It's extremely important to remember here what Jesus did not say to his disciples in that sinking boat. Jesus did not say, there is nothing to be afraid of here. Jesus never says, there's nothing to be afraid of. Because you know as well as I do, the truth is, there is plenty in this world to be afraid of. Especially now, with the isolation many of us feel, is a fearful thing. Meaninglessness, illness now, waiting for illness to happen to us, when are we going to catch it, is a fearful thing. Despair, pandemics, failure, aging, racism, losing a job, finances. There are plenty of things for us to be afraid of. And we know, as the disciples do not yet know, none of these things have the last word. There are plenty of storms that rage and threaten and unsettle us throughout our lives. The promise has never been that storms would not come upon us. That has never been the promise. The promise has never been that bad and difficult and fearful events would not happen to us. The promise has always been that God would be with us through it all. That Jesus would be with us through it all. Rick Morley is an Episcopal priest in New Jersey, and he says it better than I ever could. He says, it can't be said enough. God never, ever, ever promises that nothing bad will ever happen. God never promises smooth sailing and blue skies every day. If you think God promises this, you haven't read your Bible lately. What God does promise is that when the world comes crashing down, God is right there with us. Jesus is there with us in the sinking boat. This is the important part of the story. Jesus isn't anywhere else. He isn't in some cushy palace somewhere eating olives and hummus. He's in the boat with the disciples, sinking. And then he calms the storm. So maybe the world is crashing in on you today. Maybe it was yesterday. And maybe then again, well, maybe it will be tomorrow. But whenever it does, and it's not a matter of if, but when, whatever you think and whatever your prayer, know that you haven't been abandoned. God isn't on a lunch break. And God isn't out for you. God is with you. All you need is enough faith to get you through to the moment when Jesus speaks, "Shh, be still." Do you not care? Oh my God, do you not care what's happening to us? Do you not care what's happening to me? If you turn around, you'll find he's in the boat with you. He's right there, in the boat with you. We are not alone, ever. Shh. Be still and know. Remember, I am with you always, even in the sinking boat. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Ever-present God, in those moments when we feel alone, when we feel abandoned, when we feel that there is no one who cares, remind us to take a look in the back of the boat. But that's where you are, with us, always. Amen.
Thank you.
commissions and board meeting tomorrow night, 7 and 8. Hope you all will be there who are supposed to be there. And you all have a good day. Make sure you drink a lot of water because it's hot. Now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.